All right. So we have all these different effects raises three important issues. How do we choose to represent and describe the model, especially the three-way interaction? You don't have to worry about that. Okay, there's a bunch of different ways to do the three-way. Remember what the three-way interaction is. The two-way interaction of two variables is different for different values of the third. So we had different kinds. Are we going to focus on A and B and how that's different at different levels of C? Are we going to focus on A and C and how that's different at different levels of B? Or are we going to focus on B and C and how that's different at different levels of A? We got to pick one of those because nobody's going to stand around and let us walk through all three of them. So the question is, how are we going to characterize this? How are we going to describe it? What do we care about most? What do the lower order terms tell us? And that breaks into two parts, and this is what I was trying to think of earlier this morning. This is where it is, not there. Do the lower order terms represent and allow an inference to populations that we care about and tell us useful information? Or whether the lower order terms are descriptive, misleading, or potentially misleading? Lower order effects have the opportunity of being helpful or misleading. We got to be very, and remember, we've got 13 effects, right? 12 of which are lower order effects. 12 of which may be uninteresting given the pattern of that three-way. Ooh. So when we get the three-way, we not only have to worry about how are we going to lay it out, but we also have to worry about what else have we learned and whether it's conditional or unconditional. That's why you don't rush into a three-way or toss it in at the end of a course. Based on the definition of a three-way, we have three choices about how to depict and describe the three-way interaction. The AB interaction at different values of C, the AC interaction at different values of B, the BC interaction at different values of A. How the hell do you choose? It's not that hard. Rarely does anybody make up a three-way out of whole cloth. The first time that you're looking at something, you don't say, oh, I know what I care about, it's the, no. You started somewhere. There is some variable that's what you really give a shit about. Identify that variable. First, pick the variable that's most important to you. Which IV is most central to your thinking about the DV behavior that you're studying? Okay? Where did this all start? Two, figure out which of the other two IVs you are most interested in understanding how it changes or moderates the IV you care about most. Very often you solve this historically. What were the one ways that people ran? What were the factorials that people ran? What am I adding to it? Third, now you know which two-way you're going to use to figure out the three-way. Make sense? Do you have a three-way going?
Yeah. I have the interaction of political ideology, whether or not someone's a liberal or a conservative, how strongly they react to an image that they see in terms of their skin conductance, and how that varies across their self-reported reactions to fear.
So you've got a variable that you care about more than anything else, which is ideology.
Yep.
Ideology, actually. Well, there's an interesting...
Potato.
Yeah, there's an interesting paper about ideology as cause and ideology as cause. It's by Wittgenstein. One of the only things of his I was ever able to read. Do you got a three-way going, or you're leading up to?
We're looking at the effects of. Well, I'm proposing my MERP as a. I'm going to look at anti-gay attitudes as a function of disgust sensitivity.
Okay.
So trait disgust sensitivity.
Right.
And probably level of. An anti-humanization.
Gotcha.
So if you combine high disgust sensitivity and high dehumanization, I propose negative anti-gay attitudes.
Gotcha. What do you guys got going?
Well, I was just saying, I potentially have a four-way, and I'm trying to figure out whether it's going to be a three or a four.
Okay.
My peer sanity. But TBI versus neurotypical individuals, whether they read a sentence or hear the sentence.
Okay.
So that's another one.
Modality.
And then three different types of sentences.
Gotcha.
Main action, details, or inference. And then they pick the picture, so then eye tracking would say which area of interest they looked at. So that's potentially the fourth.
The fourth,
but,
yeah.
I may take away the modality part and just choose one of them.
Cool.
I don't know.
I don't think mine will be that complex. We're not very far into it, but we're designing an intervention that we'll use with second and fourth graders.
Okay, so the intervention compared to other things is your big dog.
Yeah.
Then you've got different grade.
And
we'll it's hard to get very far into education without worrying about background or gender.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
other
true.
There will be. And then we'll compare the treatment versus the control.
Yeah. So, what are you interested in? You come up with a whole bunch of nouns and verbs, but there's always one of them. This what's the one you care about, and you want to see how everything else pushes that around. You have an intervention, you have a head injury, etiology. I mean, you don't have a lot of anti-gay opinion from gays.
Yes.
So sitting underneath everything else is gays and straights.
Well, I'm saying that there might be a lot of societal...
Right.
Well,
the shit they carry into it.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Especially people who...
Which would be interesting if I got a big enough sample size of LGBT.
Right.
And seeing if like the same pattern holds up.
And how soon they came to it.
Yeah.
And you do run into situations where minorities don't like each other.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Just throw time into that. You might have.
Then it all goes to shit, yes.
Especially
all right, so
sometimes.
Here's a three-way. Now look at the way this is laid out. The reason that I laid this out this way is that what I cared about more than anything else, the literature that I was really tracking, was practice. There was this huge disagreement about whether or not there was perceptual learning, whether there were practice effects, and different people were finding different answers. Why were different people finding different answers? It's because they were using different kinds of stimuli in different modalities. And this is one of the things that they really trained us to where I went to graduate school, a bunch of cognitive quant folks. It was all about trying to find a disagreement in the literature and solving it by being able to build the hyper design that captures everybody else's results. Okay, this is the one that got me some very nice attention even before I did my dissertation by saying, look, hey, I can get all your all's results. All y'all. Texas. That's the plural possessive. So the layout is chosen to portray the three-way as how the simple two-way interaction of modality and practice is different for different stimuli. Okay, because I was a modality guy tracking practice. So I gave myself over to their dominant IV. So it's all about how practice gets pushed around first by modality and then by stimulus type. Then we can express the two ways as either modality effects for each practice, which is the way I thought about it, or practice effects for each modality, which is how they thought about it. We actually ended up writing up the three-way both ways in the same article so that we could capture both audiences. That was a lot of it. That was interesting. Number two, now this is what I was talking about. Yeah.
Is that the article you were talking about in one of our other classes?
Yes.
And the publisher was like, no, you're talking about it too many different ways. You got too many.
The action editor wanted me to do it both ways. The journal editor said, no, you can't do it both ways. So we said, all right, which one? You're right, we'll do it both ways. All right, related to this is the very important issue of whether or not the two-way interactions and the three-ways, and I'm sorry, the two-way interactions and domain effects that are part of the three-way mean anything to us. Do they tell us anything? It all goes back to where this whole trip started, first week in 941, representation and inference. It's all about representation and inference. The purpose of any IV condition or value, giving a nod to the quantitative variables that are coming, is to represent some population. So we can infer that the differences between those IV conditions or values represent differences between the populations we care about. The cells in a three-way each represent a specific population, and so comparisons between them are comparisons between our target populations. But the means and values of all the lower order effects are aggregates. Who do they represent? So here we got a nice simple wing of paper and computer, task difficulty. We've seen this box before. We know what each population is represented by each of the four cells. What about the marginal mean for paper presentation? The aggregate of easy and hard. Does this represent any difficulty? Does it represent medium difficulty? Okay. What about the marginal means for task difficulty? What the hell is the average of paper and computer? So you got to worry about, I mean, it's one. There's a mean. And SPSS will kick out every freaking one of these means. And you can write them all down. And you can make graphs and tables and charts and models. But at some point we have to remember that this is all about representation and inference. Who are we representing? Do we give a shit about the inference? Related to the meaningfulness issue, and perhaps the most difficult part of working with these big nasty designs, is determining which lower order effects are descriptive and which are misleading. Okay, because even if we care about it, then we still have to separate whether here's something about a population that we care about, but can we extrapolate it beyond? They are two separable issues. They blur, but they are separable when it comes down to real nouns and verbs. Here's the rule. I love it when there's a simple rule. Any lower order effect that is involved in a significant higher order effect is suspect. You must check if that lower order effect is descriptive or misleading by comparing the pattern of the lower order effect with the pattern of all corresponding simple effects at all combinations of the other variables involved in the higher order effect. It's a lot of words. It makes more sense the 15th time you've read it than the second. Okay? And we will practice this because it really matters. And this is not just the hardest part of analyzing three ways, it's the hardest part of reading other people's three ways. I hope that by the time we're done with this, you are going to be dissatisfied with most people's treatments of their three ways as being lighthearted and inadequate, missing maybe the most important stuff, which is the conditionality of things. All right, so let's look at some two ways. Again, we've seen these before, but important stuff. So here we have a descriptive two-way. Overall, computer does better than paper. That's true for easy. That's true for hard. This is a nice one. Now, I still don't know what the hell that 60 means. Okay, I don't know what the average of easy and hard is. But we're now in a situation where I can say everywhere that we've looked, computer does better than paper. So until I see something different somewhere else, I'm going to say push computer. Unconditionally, push computer. Here we again have a computer advantage over paper, but now it's only true for hard. It's not true for easy. In this situation, I still don't know what the hell the 80 and the 65 are. And I know that I got different pointies, but I'm going to push computer because it never hurts. And if we can do one thing everywhere that either helps or doesn't hurt, I'm good. Reminds me of that joke. Who's the guy? I can't remember. He's the fourth guy in the blue collar tour. The one who doesn't fit. He's always wearing a suit, smokes the cigars. White, Ron White. And he says, "Welcome to Texas, where the speed limit is 75 miles an hour. Unless you're driving a semi, then it's 65 miles an hour. Unless you're driving something towing a trailer, then it's 55 miles an hour. Because it just wouldn't make sense if we were all going the same speed." Sometimes you can say something that isn't strictly true, but it's a simplification that doesn't cost you anything and may in the long run be helpful.
So what about if you have a significant interaction and, you know, in this case, task difficulty main effect doesn't really necessarily make sense, as you were saying. So can you just not report one?
Depends on who your audience is and whether you're doing them a favor. Because here, you know, I don't have it there, but I do have it here and I do have it overall. It sort of depends on how applied my presentation is. If somebody wants me to decide, am I deciding between paper, computer, or carrying both? These would tell me just carry the computer. Put all your energy into doing that well. Now, these results, we would have to say it matters. It really matters. As opposed to it matters some places and you can get away with it others. Here, you got to know whether what you're doing construes as an easy or a hard task because which presentation you're going to use matters.
And should you use the words descriptive, misleading?
I do.
You do? Okay.
I say this is, you know, I'll say, well, right here. I'll say, overall, computer does better than paper. However, this is only descriptive for hard. And it is misleading for easy. And then in probably two or three places I will say, so it is important when choosing task presentation to know whether it's an easy or a hard task.
Okay.
That's the phrase that I'm going to beat them to death with.
Okay.
And these are two ways.
Right.
We haven't gotten to three ways yet.
Part of it will still turn on size of effect, too.
Yes, it will.
So even if they're in the same direction, the size of the orders of magnitude difference.
Yes. Yep. All right. You've heard me whine about this before, and I will again. Nulls can be misleading. Lower order null effects can be misleading. In fact, any lower order null that's involved in a higher order effect has to be misleading. It's a rule. Okay? Because if there's an interaction here, that means these two don't match. You can't get an interaction and these match. So you gotta watch